The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, the Stick Boy and We Talk Podcast. I'm Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Man, how goes it?
Good. It was a more WWE heavy week this week as we ramp up into the Royal Rumble, but a lot of positive sides in the WWE. A really good Monday Night Raw with some exciting news coming out of it. And let's get, before we get to Raw and SmackDown and everything, we're coming to the Royal Rumble, which will be pretty heavy on that. There's some news outside that we need to talk to. I think one of the bigger things was ROH has had an up and down week.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think they've got a few good things going right now.
They had a nice big signing.
Yeah, they had a nice big signing, and they introduced a new First Blood, new blood group. It's something that, and the face of it seems to be Juice Robinson, and he seems to be on the upswing right now. So it also, it almost speaks to me that the New Japan deal is at least going to stay the course. I don't think they would have sent Juice if they thought that they were going to leave Ring of Honor. Because there's no point in starting this and then being like, oh, yeah, by the way, all these Ring of Honor guys are gone. Rush, which is with CMLL, and CMLL has the deal with New Japan. So them signing Rush tells me that they're probably going to stay in bed with Ring of Honor for the foreseeable future. Because, I mean, they could easily be like, no, we're going to go with All Elite Wrestling or someone else. But my feeling is, You sign a guy, like a big star like Rush from CMLL, you're going to want to keep him around. And that could cause a conflict of interest where maybe that New Japan deal is gone and they're a little bit more like, well, we thought this was going to kind of be, you could do Ring of Honor, you could do New Japan, and then you could come back here and do the promotion. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm not entirely sure how it's going to play out, but I feel like there are more little signs of pointing to Ring of Honor, New Japan's staying together with their deal. And I don't know what that means for Kenny Omega.
Seems also like a bigger push for POC. They're really putting him on top. It's not what ROH really used to be. It's a lot of like, as far as like a sports reference you can make, it's not a team that really has like the superstar star, right?
Yeah.
Like they don't have like a LeBron or like a Tom Brady, for example, but they have a very well-oiled machine with a lot of good role players and a lot of guys that could break out to be that. But it's a very, there's like with Marty doing what he's doing, and Dalton Castle's apparently looked really well. The problem is two of those guys that are really important, one that was an up and riser for them, got hurt. Chris Sabin, who's had two leg injuries in the past with TNA, he got hurt, and Flip Gordon got hurt.
Yeah.
Talk to us about what happened there.
So it sounds like Sabin's hurt long term. Like it sounds like he's up for a couple months.
He could be done because that's a third major knee injury now. And how old is Chris Sabin?
I figure he's got to be in his 30s. And Flip Gordon, young, it sounds like it's just a sprain, but whether that remains to be true, We'll wait and see. This is one of the cases where you probably wish you were with AEW and had healthcare.
Yes.
But with both injuries,
Sabin's 36. He'll be turning 37 in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's hard to recover from knee injuries. We've seen it where athletes have gotten hurt, had a really good run, and then their knee's just done. So, and this guy who wrestles the style very much like a Flip Gordon, Young Bucks, that high flying, high impact style, his body's probably taken a lot more abuse, and his knees have probably taken a lot more abuse. So with that in mind, he may have a harder time coming back from this, which sucks because I would have loved to seen him and Alex Shelley in.
It's always weird to me.
All like, Elite Wrestling.
TNA gave them the rights to use Mortimer City Machine Guns away from the company. It's weird. Like I always wondered if James Storms went to WWE, if Emma Bobby Roode could ever use beer money. It's weird that TNA did it. They were so hard on the Hardy thing, but then they just let Machine Guns just go.
Yeah, it was weird because it just seems to be one of those situations where, like, it just shows the management within Impact and TNA at that time that just there was no consistency in that company where they bounced around, where one guy could use it, and then you come to a situation with the Hardys, and it's like, oh, God forbid they use it, and it's just.
As far as other things go, What Culture has reported that Goldust, when his contract runs up, will be looking to go to AEW. I wouldn't be shocked, and I don't think it'll be as much as a wrestler as a producer, more than likely.
I think they could probably build. I think his last match will be Cody. Yeah. And I think that'll be the way they want.
They never really had that feud in WWE. They kind of dilly-dallied around it, and then they just kind of threw it away in an opening match show. And that should be a bigger match with the two Rhodes brothers.
Yeah, and I imagine, because he won't be able to take the Goldust gimmick, I'm interested to see what...
Black Rain
will be back.
Misty the Mouse, or the Rat, or whatever that was.
God. Oh, no.
He could be Dustin Reynolds. They don't have that trademarked.
No. Oh, yeah, and that's probably what he will be. Yeah. It'll probably be the two brothers fighting it out one last time.
I've always
wondered
why Cody just didn't become Cody Reynolds.
I think he just liked the name Rhodes. Mm-hmm. I think the names Rhodes had more impact.
Right.
And, like, I mean, it's weird because you look at, if you go on Pro Wrestling Tees, one of the shirts that they have is the Exorcism of Cody Rhodes.
Oh.
And it seems like they've kind of blocked out some, but you can clearly tell it's Cody Rhodes.
You know what's interesting? I was going to bring this up to you off air, but just since we're on, as far as the Rhodes, going back and looking at some Cody stuff yesterday on YouTube, Rhodes Scholars, I totally had forgot about them, but just popped up on my YouTube feed. I wonder if a guy like Aaron Stevens, if they would bring him in or not. He obviously had a nice run there with The Miz at the end, and we thought that he was like, okay, this guy is going to be a star now, like he gets it. And then he did the Mega Power thing with Axel, and it just floundered. And we're like, okay, well, they screwed him up with that Mega Powers thing. And then he went to Impact and just flamed out. Yeah. Same with kind of Kennedy, in a way. Do you see Impact maybe taking... I know Kennedy's in NWA right now. But as far as an Aaron Stevens, do you think, with his relationship with Cody, he'd get a second chance?
Maybe this is a spot for some of these guys that are friends with or run in with Cody's circle at that time that could get a shot. I mean, there's rumors floating around that AEW has contacted Punk.
Yeah.
And there were
Jericho's shut it down, though.
I mean, can you really believe a word Jericho's going to say?
No. From what we're hearing, and Meltzer's talked about it too, like... It just kind of sounds like he just doesn't want anything to do with wrestling.
Yeah.
Like that's why he never really listened to Cody. I think he'll change his mind in the next little bit. I think the WWE thing, like, you do never say never in wrestling, but for the first time ever, I really think it's a never.
Yeah.
I just think it's a never that he'll never, the only way he'll go in the Hall of Fame is when he dies, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Not to be morbid about it. I see him wrestling in AEW in the next 3 years, though.
Yeah, and I think that, because I think the big thing for him now is it's money. It's not about the love or the passion for it, which is fine, which is totally fine. But I can see Tony Khan dangling that golden carrot of money in front of him.
And we know now that, apparently according to Jericho, that the Khans are richer than the McMahons.
Well, I think we already knew that.
Yeah, so I guess that was just fully confirmed there. We'll get back to some AEW stuff in a second here. Free agents, big one as far as like an up-and-comer. Back on the market, we thought Shane Strickland was 100% going to WWE because he'd been with Evolve. And, you know, when you're with Evolve, that's kind of like, you know, hovering around like the D League before you go to NXT.
Yeah.
And as of yesterday, he said that he has dates open for Mania Weekend. So.
It's not a bad thing. Young guy, you can travel around a bit more, and then you can get yourself in a footing. Not everyone's going to be Velveteen Dream.
No, so. But I'm going to be shocked if he's not scooped up by May, June, because he's super talented, and with all the promotions that are vying right now.
Well, I just wonder if he's waiting for everything to resolve itself with Lucha Underground, because that's been a gong show.
Yes,
and a half.
I was going to bring that up, because Elise put a statement up this morning or yesterday as well, and Elise, if you remember her from that the Tough Enough season that had Velveteen, and it had Mandy, and it had Sonya Deville. She has been in Lucha Underground. She wants out of her contract, but if you remember the way that it works, it doesn't end until the seasons are over, which is why Ricochet had a problem. Ricochet wanted to go to WWE a year ago, but he had to wait till that season had ended. And Elise is dealing with that right now. She put out a statement earlier stating the same thing.
And Joey Ryan also sent out a tweet saying, I back Elise 100% on this. Prior to season 4, we were told anybody who requested a release would be granted one. Some did and left after the taping. Others showed faith in the product, and now it seems to be punished for it. With no season 5 in sight, it's petty to keep anyone locked up. So it seems like Lucha Underground's dead.
Yeah.
And
well, it's been taken off Netflix, apparently.
Yeah, so it's DOA, and it doesn't sound like we're going to be getting anything more. But it's a shame that these guys are getting held up, because it's just like the Adam Cole and Ring of Honor situation when he was ready to go, but they're like, no, he can't leave yet. So it's another situation of that, and I think now with how hot wrestling is for the wrestlers right now and just the amount of money they could get, it's a shame because this isn't going to pass right away, but no. You kind of miss that hot chance to sign.
Well, someone like Elise, too, who I always thought, out of all the women, was the most talented woman on that season of Tough Enough, and she proved it. She did matches with the men in Underground, and I think she'd be a great addition to the All Elite's roster, to the NXT roster, to the Women of Honor roster. I think especially All Elite could use her. Just they have Penelope, Brandy, and Britt Baker. If they got Elise, I think that's a really nice starting four for them to go. Obviously, Brandy's probably not going to see the ring as much, but with Britt and Penelope, I think that's a nice addition. And Joey Ryan's probably someone that wanted to announce going to All Elite and be there.
Yeah.
But obviously, with what his contract situation is, Joey Ryan can't do that just yet either.
Yeah. I imagine he'll be in All Elite. Because I think the one thing that we keep hearing about All Elite Wrestling is that they're going to keep things open. Like, Jericho's going to be able to do his cruise. There was something else where guys can do things outside and it's not going to be an issue. As long as you have it written in the contract, then you're good.
Yes. So as far as everything else goes, let's talk about this Lars Sullivan situation.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot to unpack with it. So let's just start off with saying some pretty gross comments that he has said came out, and we'll leave it at that.
Well, he got banned from Bodybuilders Forum, and that's... Yeah. If anyone knows what that forum is, then you know what it takes to get banned from it.
Right. So he said some pretty gross comments. We're obviously not going to go over there. If you want to, don't know why you would, you can look them up online. The bigger story is that last week on Raw, he was poised to attack Cena and start building to a WrestleMania program. He had what is believed to be a panic attack of some sort.
Yeah.
And he then was like, okay, it's fine, calm down, we'll do you in SmackDown. Never showed up to SmackDown, never talked to or contacted any officials, as far as being reported right now, and then flew home to Colorado, where he has yet to talk to officials.
Yeah, and Hunter is taking heat for this, because Hunter said he was good for it.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. It's great to perform in front of the NXT crowd, and it's probably... Like, you performed in front of Barclays, and you performed in those arenas, but I just don't think the guy was ready for being launched into such a massive, big spot. And you hear all these stories, like, it almost gets into your head where you hear all these stories, well, I gotta be perfect in front of Vince, because Vince is such a perfectionist, and if I screw up, then it's all over. And then you have to go against Cena, which is a perfectionist as well. And like we heard him make calls when he was calling in the ring that he was kind of getting mad at Corbin for certain things.
Yeah.
So this is a guy that's not afraid to say something. So now you're in a situation where you're going to be in this hot angle. You had a bunch of these comments come out, so you're going to be facing the backlash of that. You're basically, it's no longer just, oh, this is a big guy or five star Lars, as he's known online. It's now you're facing heat for things that you said, and rightfully so. And so you've got all these things bouncing in your head, and yeah, I can see why he flew to Colorado. I don't think he handled it well at all.
He probably handled it the worst as possible.
Yeah.
I actually do hope that he does not get the match. I think Cena has such a limited amount of matches left.
Yeah.
And the match we really want for John is him and Joe.
Yeah.
And so I'd rather have that substituted for the match because of the history that they all have. And we've seen lately WWE has no problem getting old footage. So that's kind of where I want... We'll see where that goes. What did you think about the way NXT performers were shown and introduced on Raw and SmackDown this week?
Some of it's all right. Some of it was a little weird and just kind of felt I don't know. Like, I liked how they used Nikki. I thought that was good.
I thought Nikki was good. I thought Lacey was fine.
I thought EC3 was fine, because Joe sees him and he's like, oh god, another Carter.
Yeah.
So, he's having flashbacks.
I kind of like the Otis Dozovich stuff. See, and I called this a month ago, because I had seen those Instagram stuff he did with Mandy. Where it gets all like, oh, my Mandy candy! Yeah. We kind of talked about this, is when Vince is going to see those and want to do that, and so everyone's like, what is this? And you and I saw this, and we kind of saw that, and we're like, this is what Vince is going to do. He's going to see this guy that's kind of weird, and kind of like a George Animal Steel mixed with Macho Man to a degree for the voice, and kind of blend those together.
Yeah, well, Becky apparently had no problem with steaks, weights, and pancakes, yeah. So... Well, that all rhymes.
Yeah.
Damn.
I didn't have a problem with it. It's not like if this was a situation where this was a Ricochet or Aleister Black, for example, then I'd have a problem with it. But it's, I think EC3 has the chance to be the most talented of anyone there. Lacey Evans didn't need this grandeur entrance at all. I think Nikki got the biggest one there, and we'll see what happens with Lars. They're obviously not going to just throw away Lars in a backstage segment. It was fun. I kind of like the idea of them appearing both on Raw and SmackDown, so you kind of find where you want to go and let you get introduced to them and whatnot. So I had no problem with it. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, it was all right, but I could see a situation where they've got Black or Ricochet bouncing around in the...
That would be a problem.
Yeah, I could absolutely see them do that.
So all the big free agents, WWE landed one of them. They got Jerry Lawler back.
Yeah.
But nobody wanted him. He admitted that on his podcast. All Elite never contacted him, which I'm actually kind of surprised at, because Lawler is a legend, and I think in our generation, he's an underrated legend.
Well, I think when you tell them that this is a mistake and you shouldn't go up against
that
Vince,
too.
I don't think that's going to garner you
that
any...
That too. So, obviously, JR doesn't carry as much weight with him as much anymore. He's coming back to be signed a 2-year contract, got a raise, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Those kickoff shows, man, they need him. But he will be calling the Rumble, the men's Rumble, with JBL and Michael Cole. Which I'm fine with.
We're entering the time war. Because I think this exact pairing has done a couple Rumbles in the past.
Yeah, I don't understand why you would take Corey off of it.
Because JBL adds so much more to
the
podcast.
Well, it's just weird to me that you have guys like Saxton and Renee and Corey that have been part of this product. And I don't mind Lawler on there. Whatever. Lawler's just... He's done this forever. He's done this since the 90s. So if you just had Lawler on there and then threw somebody out there, but add JBL also, and it wouldn't just be JBL. It's if you added Booker or Tonga on to the end of it, it's like you have these established broadcasters all year that follow the product. Why are you going to put JBL and Lawler into the middle of it? Because the draw isn't the broadcasters on that. The draw is the entrance of the Rumble.
Yeah, it's weird because they're almost putting, and I mean this is such a weird, but this is a very WWE thing to do. Like, as much as Raw and SmackDown have been enjoyable recently,
yeah,
it still reminds you that this is WWE and they will find a way to screw themselves over.
There was the segment that did that on SmackDown, the Shane McMahon birthday. Yeah. Maybe that's because with my co-host on Fresh Take, Devin Seal, we got him, and we were watching a bunch of New Japan stuff all day. And then I see that Shane one, and it's like, oh, right.
This,
I forgot.
This is why this company could potentially be in trouble down the line. Like, this is a situation where you're like, oh, this is a perfect reminder of what WWE is, and what they always will be.
This is definitely... It is sports entertainment at its finest. But then, it's confusing, though, right? Because you have a segment like that, and then you have this JBL and King thing, where it's like, I think that'd be a perfect situation of like, well, why use them? If you're going to do anything, promote people, then. Get Percy up there. Get Nigel up there. Use them in the Rumble. Because Percy, I think, is due for a call-up.
Yeah.
I think Percy has exceeded expectations on that broadcast table. We know Mauro's never coming up, because it's just for his mental health and everything, it's better to be on that table. But I think it works a lot better just... Yeah, I just kind of lost my train of thought there, but just to keep it alone, and when you keep on... Okay, this is what I'm saying. I lost my train of thought there. I apologize. But you have the thing like you have the JBL and the Lawler thing. It's like, that makes no sense. You have these people that run the company. You have that the entertainment segment with Shane and the Miz and the bar, which is fine. That's what WWE is, right? It's supposed to be fun and sports entertainment. But then you have this killer match with the Miz, with Rey Mysterio and Andretti.
Andrade,
that's his name now, not saying almost.
Yeah, that was weird too. See, this is why.
Because God damn it, people don't know how to speak in syllables. And even like one time Corey said almost, and then he kept on saying Andretti. And it was like, that match was terrific, but it's like, you're finally going to push him, but everyone, I don't know anyone who said Andretti. Everyone says almost or saying almost. Just make it almost then.
Yeah, it was one of those things where you're like, why did
or just call him ACM. ACA. Mm. I don't know. It's better than Andretti.
I don't know. Like this whole
but that thing. Match was like a 4.5-star TV match. It was one of the best matches of the year. And him and Ray, chemistry wise, together is fantastic. Like if they do this rumored hair versus mask match, it could steal SmackDown. They have a potential with the two of them to have a 5-star match. It was a very rare situation of WWE being like, just go out there and just do whatever the hell you want for 20 minutes. Like, we saw Canadian Destroyers. We saw, like, Hurricane Rana's off the apron. Like, it was crazy.
Oh, it was great. And the thing is, you see that match, and you're like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And then it gets bogged down in other things. And you're like, this SmackDown sucked, but this was the only bright spot. And it's like one of those things where this is why WWE will always... I'll always doubt when they have good shows. Like, because they always find a way to have a string of good shows and then screw it up.
Well, I think the problem in this was, we kind of saw this on Raw, where, let's just get rid of some of the shit before we get to the positive this week. We saw the tease of the Alexa thing, and then we saw it with the Mandy stuff this week. So they're teasing that PG stuff, and it coincidentally happens the same week that TNA Impact did the stuff with Scarlett Bordeaux and Scott Steiner. They're trying to be more edgy and everything, and they did like this lap dance thing with Scarlett Bordeaux and Steiner, which, you know, good for her. I mean, if she wants to feel sexy and everything like that, that's tremendous for her, but she's actually a super talented wrestler. She doesn't need to fall to the Sable gimmick, Scarlett Bordeaux, because she's actually super talented in the ring, right? And Mandy, I thought, had been improving greatly, and she's super talented, and Alexa's super talented on the mic, but we're using the sex sell stuff. It was funny with the Mandy stuff. They kept on all night. For the USA Network, they were promoting Temptation Island, and there was a point where Mandy's able to take off her robe, and they just have, like, under perfect timing by USA, the banner for Temptation Island tomorrow at whatever time. But I think the problem with the Alexa thing, it's like, okay, whatever, that was a cheeky angle.
Here's the thing, I'm going to bring this up because it all ties in.
Sure.
So Ray and Almost have 300,000 views on YouTube as we're talking right now. The Mandy Rose welcomes Jey Uso to her hotel room has 1.1 million views.
Of course it does, because sex sells. College Humor did this. Keep that point for a second. College Humor has done two skits where they've said, this skit is just a butt. And they literally have a minute where they're saying, we're just going to make the thumbnail a butt. You're an idiot for clicking on this. And it's just a thumbnail of a naked butt. And it's like one of College Humor's biggest videos. It's 36 million views. And it's a minute clip. At just a butt, and they had like a sexy saying, and then they did the same thing with like a pair of tits, and the same thing. So it goes to show, like, you put something up there. This isn't Pornhub, people. You're not getting porn on it, but people see that and they're gonna go to it.
Oh yeah, like Cena, Balor, McIntyre, Corbin got 1.3 million views, and then the Alexa Bliss rudely interrupted in her dressing room got 3.6 million views.
Yeah.
And Vince is going to see that number and see that YouTube money and be like, well, this is what we got to do more of.
And you and I have consistently talked about it. It's a weird week because you see the Almas match. And you saw that tag match on SmackDown last week. It's like, oh, shit, are they actually going to let them start going? And the three-way with Lashley, Ambrose, and Rollins was really good as well.
And that's real, like, just because you brought it up, I got to say this is the first time in a while that you saw someone genuinely happy to win the Intercontinental title. And that's such a rare thing now because, like, that title has been watered down by the same group.
It felt special, that match. It felt like an IC classic in a way.
Yeah.
And it felt good for Bobby. Like, it's like Bobby needed this. Like, we've been waiting for Bobby Lashley to be important again.
Yeah.
He was on the tip of our lips. One of us had to make him our worst wrestler of the year, I think. Maybe. I don't know. But he was at least on the tip of our lips at one point for Worst Wrestler of the Year.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, this feels so good that he cares about it.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact that he got a pin on Dean kind of tells you. He didn't get a pin on the babyface. He got a pin on the heel. Kind of tells you where Dean's sitting on the spectrum of importance.
But I guess the thing I'm saying is that that's awesome. And you see, and that's what we want to see. We want to see the emotion for winning the title. And when you hear the fresh start, that's what we want to see. Right? We want to see that. And then we want to see that tag match from SmackDown last week. And then we want to see that Almas, I'm going to say Almas, I don't give a shit, the Almas and Rey match. And you're like, this is fantastic. And you and I have consistently said, like, the Attitude Era was very good at making characters, but there was a lot of garbage on that that I just am embarrassed to even talk about as a wrestling fan, and I don't want to revisit. And it's like, can we have this era where you can have Attitude Era stuff and good wrestling at the same time? I don't know if they know how to do that together.
Like, no.
And the way, like, the Alexa thing is one thing, whatever. It was a quick statement. It was, you knew what they were doing. But to get the Usos involved in this, like, if it's just Naomi and Mandy, have at it, whatever. But to get the Usos involved in this, that's something I don't want, because they're arguably your best tag team in the entire company.
Yeah, yeah. And you're basically putting a situation where now they're tied down and bogged in down in this... in this silly storyline where it's like, you basically, the character Mandy Rose has to be dumb to have cameras in there for SmackDown, and then a picture, like a photographer camera, pop up and take pictures and be like, I'm going to blackmail you.
Yeah.
How are you going to block? Because there's video footage. Like, it, no.
This is where in the Attitude Era, GTV worked great. Right? GTV worked great.
Didn't that only run for like 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, it was supposed to be Goldust. Even, see, this is why the, unfortunately he's not on TV anymore, but the Rusev Day stuff in English worked great. It's like, I had a camera when I was recording myself, and this is what happened. That segment worked because it's like, only he has the footage to this. That's great. I mean, you could technically still be like, he's playing it backstage, now we have the whole footage, why are we not going to run this all? There's that. But at least there's some disbelief, a suspension. You're like, Aiden has this tape. He's going to release whatever he wants. With this, Uso is on the way to the hotel, which he got there super fast, apparently. Also, like, is Naomi by the door waiting the entire time, just listening to this? I don't know. It was, and this was at least a chance for Mandy to really bust out a character. Like, you can make that segment work. We've seen it work in the past for the Sables and the Trishes. They've had to eat a lot of crow, especially Trish. But they made it work. When Trish had to bark like a dog, it was humiliating and terrible, but she made it work. When she had to do the stuff with comatose Linda, it sucked, but she made it work. When she had to, like, these are the, Trish, man, goddamn, bless her. When she had to, like, rub down a table when she was with TNA to go against the Dudleys, sold it. Mandy's acting in here was terrible. It was, and Naomi didn't help. You and I have never been huge fans of Naomi. But Mandy's acting, she needed to sell this as a seductress, that she's evil, that she had a plan with Jimmy Uso, and she never sold any of that.
Yeah, it wasn't a good call. Like, it just, it was one of those things where you kind of look and you're like, this is kind of cringy, this is just unnecessary, and it's just like...
I mean, it's an early, this year, because we always forget stuff, I'm writing stuff down, and right now it's my worst segment of the year right now.
Oh yeah, no, it wasn't good.
Because, like, even back in the hotel, I'm like, because normally I think they rent out hotels, right? I remember one where Hunter attacked Regal and Eugene and, like, destroyed the hotel room. Like, I thought, oh, someone's going to get their head thrown into the TV or against the wall. Like, the big spot was, like, a kind of, like, throw over, like, a small chair that Naomi took. And that was it. Like, there was no, like, thrown to the walls or to the television, really. Any major damage at all in this brawl.
Yeah, I'm just not...
So, I mean, we're going to see more of it. Obviously, with Bliss, we're going to see it, for sure.
Oh, yeah, now they've seen YouTube money now.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, let's keep doing it.
Well, you know they want to pump it. The YouTube, I think, was the second highest YouTube on YouTube for views per... I think number one was PewDiePie, and I think they were two. Or they're at least top five.
I think they were top five at least.
Yeah. So they're going to roll it in. They're going to see those YouTube views and be like, okay.
Because they get money from it. They, yeah. And they're guaranteed to not have any issues. They're not like a small-time YouTube user that's going to have the issues with the copyrights and all the other crap that YouTube seems to throw at their content creators. WWE's a big organization. They're not going to mess around with them, so they're going to let them keep going, and they're probably going to keep making money hand over fist for YouTube.
There's a way to make it work. I think the way they've done it with the Bellas has been good, right? Like, they don't... They haven't had, like, Nikki do any of this stuff, and maybe they will when Nikki comes back. But I think they've done a good job with, like, the Bellas with, like, being reality stars and being these models, and, like, that's all you are, like, some of the Ronda promos and other promos toward them. I think that's the way to go instead of just the blatant, like, half-assed kind of sex sells type of
idea. I don't know. I don't think the Bellas are coming back, really.
I mean, they're still a total divas. I wouldn't be shocked if they do Mania or they're going to be in the Rumble very well as well.
Yeah, Nikki and Brie will eventually.
I know Brie wants. She said in interviews that she wants to have another kid.
Yeah.
So that could keep Brie away, but I wouldn't. I think they're gonna still milk the Nikki cow as long as they can, just because Bella's is still running and they're gonna get money from it. So I mean, if they bring them back, you wouldn't be shocked. Now, if this is the way they're going with Mandy and Bliss, Nikki's a prime candidate to do some of that stuff.
Yeah, but I think Nikki has enough pull to say no.
This is true. Well, you think Bliss would too? Maybe Bliss wanted to do it. I don't know.
I don't think Bliss has as much pull as what a Nikki would.
The only highlight of this that I thought from that entire Mandy segment, we've spent entirely too much time on this, is Sonya was really good. Acting wise in that. I thought Sonya with the, like, saying, like, this is Ron, and if this is the babyface turn for Sonya right now, Sonya is one of those women in the division that I'd really like to see a push for this year.
Yeah.
Because she is super talented. She, acting's okay as far as backstage, but she's super talented in the ring, and her with an Asuka or Becky could be really, really good.
Yeah. No, this, out of all this, this could lead to Sonya getting to do something, which would be nice.
It was kind of, and the other thing about SmackDown this week, before we get to the positive Raw, just a waste of the Iconics. If the idea is to give them the tag titles...
I don't think they're getting the tag titles.
Like, I mean, Peyton's viral today for getting punched in the throat. Eric Bischoff's commented on it. JR's commented on it. Everyone loved the throat punch.
Really?
Everyone loved the Becky throat punch to Peyton. But I thought they were just a really good heel team, and maybe they're just supposed to be job fodder. Maybe that's what it is. I just thought they'd be a bigger deal than what they are right now. At least Peyton's doing better than her boyfriend, who's not even on TV.
Yeah,
Who I think got in trouble, by the way, for comments he made on Twitter.
Yeah, I imagine there's probably some sort of...
Did you hear about that?
No, what happened?
There was some Women's Rumble thing or whatever, talking about the Women Evolution or the Best Of, and it was an all-white women's cast, and Peyton was also featured on there. Keep this in mind.
Yeah.
And then Nia and Tamina said, like, how about some diversity or something like that, and then Ty said, stop showing boo-boo faces and just be happy to be with the company or something like that. I'm improvising the lines, so...
Oh, I think I know what... Because they featured a certain group, and then Nia had said something online about why isn't she on it.
Yeah.
And then Ty fired back and was like, well, maybe learn how to do wrestling better, or something like that.
I think Ty is going to be All Elite Bound very soon.
Yeah, the perfect 10 will be...
Keeping on the women, we have two more women stories, then we'll move to some of the highlights of Raw. We have the tag titles. We've got them introduced by Bliss and Sammon in what was a really bizarre segment with Otis. Probably the worst Paul Heyman segment in his history of the company. But at least we got the titles, so let's just talk about that. Gorgeous titles. They have been hitting out of the park. The UK tag titles we saw this week were phenomenal. North American is one of Uriah's favorite belts right now. And I think these women's tag titles are tremendous.
Oh, yeah. They definitely have a nice look to them. It's going to be interesting to see how they book the division. This gives the women one more thing to do. This means you're going to be at least guaranteed 3 women's matches per pay-per-view, at least including the pre-show, so that's good. I think you've got some talented women that can definitely do something. I don't know who the first ones to hold the title will be. I'm interested to see. I have a feeling it'll probably be Sasha and Bayley, but this could easily be a heel team. I don't know who's the heel team that has it, though.
So... We have teams that we can guarantee. I mean, we just out of being safe with the Rumble, I'm not going to say Sasha and Bayley just yet. I mean, it's pretty much probably going to happen, but we won't assume. But
you honestly think Sasha's going to beat Ronda?
I don't know.
I'm
just going to put it on the drift right now. It could just be Bayley and Natty, but it's going to be Bayley and Blank. It'd probably be Bayley and Sasha, but we could say Bayley and Natty even. But Riot Squad for sure will be in it.
Yeah.
The Iconics for sure will be in it.
Riot Squad's probably need it.
Yeah. Mandy and Sonya will be in it.
Unless it's a babyface turn for Sonya.
Yeah. Unless Sonya goes with Naomi, maybe? Like, Naomi's obviously going to need a partner. And I don't know who that is in the division. Like, Lacey Evans is going with somebody, obviously,
you,
I think.
You know what it is, Josh? You know what it is? They're going to put Becky with someone and remove her completely from the main event of WrestleMania.
That's exactly
That's what's going to happen. This is Vince's. This is the long game Vince has been playing. Becky will lose to Asuka, and then she will get knocked out of the Rumble right away. Because, like, her promo, whoever told her what to say for her promo was dumb. Like, that whole little opening promo that she had where she talked about her popularity, that's not why Becky's worked.
She started so good, too, because she had kind of an Austin type of feel where she came in with the car.
Yeah.
And she threw the keys to Charlie or Dasha or whoever. Then doing the statement with New Day and Heavy Machinery was, whatever. It was funny. And then kind of having the stomp walker, she kind of felt like a badass, right? And then it's like, you don't ever, it's like LeBron recently saying he's the greatest player of all time. You never say you are, you just let it be known that you are.
Yeah, you do your thing. And then, like that is just, like I feel like they're trying to undercut Becky because they want to justify having the triple threat at Mania.
Which they're not going to justify that ever.
I'm interested to see what the reaction to that is.
I am too. Lastly, on the tag team front, it seems like Mickey and Alicia are a tag team now, apparently.
You gotta start throwing people together now.
I mean, maybe that's one they want to go with, because it's two legends, and they deserve to have legends for Alicia Fox, that they want to have them. I think if I was going to really do it, if you want to put a legend, you somehow get Fox injured, and you make Trish and Mickey the first tag team champions. With that dynamic there. Or Lita and Trish somehow. I wonder if they maybe throw them into the... Have Lita and Trish in there somehow.
Have them have a match at Mania.
If they did that, it's going to probably... If they did that, then it's going to either be Bayley and Sasha versus Lita and Trish, or they'll do something with the Bellas versus Lita and Trish. Because they'll have their bigger teams. I could see the Bellas in this, by the way, as well, for the tag titles. You say they're done, but I could very well see the Bellas being the first tag champs.
God... Yeah.
I think out of all the teams, Iconics or Riot Squad need it the most.
But they'll probably give it to the Bellas or a Legend Tag Team.
Yeah. Riot Squad definitely needs it, because Riot Squad is between the Iconics and the Riot Squad. The Riot Squad, I like the Iconics. I think they're funny. But the Riot Squad actually has the more talented performer with Ruby.
Yeah.
And they are definitely in need of something to elevate that group up.
Yeah.
They have go-away heat for me whenever I hear the Riot Squad music come out.
Yeah, I think a good chunk of WWE has.
And it's
going to
be interesting, too,
heat.
If it's like the Brock Lesnar Undisputed reign in this brand split. Is like, do they go to...
Yeah, it seems like they're going to be bouncing back and forth.
Yeah, so if that's the case... Then you could see it on a Bellas or a Legend Tag Team bouncing to each brand. If not, maybe the Riots or maybe Sasha Bailey, then they could bounce to each brand.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how... It's a nice thing to have. Like, I think this is a good call for them.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how this goes long term.
I like it in the Elimination Chamber instead of just Mania, giving it away, because then you can build up a feud for those titles to matter at Mania. As far as the rest of SmackDown before we get to a better Raw, which is bizarre... nothing else really stood out. Joe attacked Mustafa Ali. Joe's hopefully going to be in his first Royal Rumble. We're going to fingers crossed. He's a week and a half out. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt this year.
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap him with like Teflon.
And then he's got 2 months to make his first Mania still.
Hey, I could see his first Mania.
You could.
Ah, that'd be neat.
So hopefully he
him
doesn't
get
hurt.
Him and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale.
Yeah, probably. SmackDown's been very good at keeping people off of TV when they're not used. Like, Randy just isn't on TV because you don't need him to be. Jeff hasn't been on TV because you don't need him to be. Ty Dillinger isn't because they just don't want him to be.
Yeah, he's not perfect 10 on the main roster.
And then Nock and Rusev didn't really do anything because they set up an angle last week. Don't really need to do it.
Yeah.
As far as Raw goes, This is probably the biggest story overall of the week. Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar. That match is no more. And there's no real discussion of why Braun isn't in it. The overall report is that this was always the plan, whether you want to believe that or not.
No way. This, you don't have all this marketing and promotion and then be like, well, we gotta switch it. This is still one of WWE's many, 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 many problems, is they fly by the seat of their pants, and they're like, whoa, this is where we want to go.
I think what happened was at the World Cup pay-per-view, as it's now called, the World Cup pay-per-view, the plan was to do the Brock and Braun thing. That's where we had the Corbin screw job, even though it didn't look like a Corbin screw job. It just looked like a squash match, right? I think I assuming that they got a diagnostic on Strowman, and they're like, he's not going to be good enough to go. And then around TLC time, when Finn beats Drew, that's when like, okay, that's where we're going to be going. I think it's around that time that they had an idea where they're going to go. That's what Pollock has been saying. That's what Meltzer thinks. I still don't know. It's just, it's 2 weeks before a show. So if you were going to do it, why wouldn't you have done it on like the Christmas show to get people talking or something?
Well, because was this the first live Raw, or was last week?
Last week was the first, then against the national championship last week.
And you had Brock there, so why not do it then?
They did the whole weird Brock thing with Braun that they segmented right at halftime of the national championship. Which is why, if it wasn't the case for that, I would believe it. But Braun came off terrible in that segment.
Yeah, oh yeah, like the whole thing just felt... Like, if you had... Like, this could very well just be poor management on WWE's part, which, shockingly, isn't surprising anymore.
Also, too, with Braun, it seems even mainstream-wise, he's not gaining the attraction that he did.
No, he's definitely slowing down.
Because I even had a few buddies that, you know, saw the clip when he flipped over stuff, and were like, oh, he flipped over... Didn't he flip over, like, a semi-truck? Or an ambulance? I'm like, yeah. He's like, so why do I care that he flipped over a limo?
Yeah.
It's like, and for me, and for you, I've seen Braun stomp through the halls. Oh, I'm not finished with you. I'm going to flip. It's like, we've seen this. What do you got? What else you got? It's the greatest hits of Braun Strowman, and you've used it all.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see where they, what they do with Braun. Braun's definitely not the guy moving long term. I'm interested to see who is. I can't see Balor beating Brock.
No, but I do, and the other thing is, too, everyone's like, this is not an All Elite scare tactic or anything. I find it hard that it's not.
I think they got nervous, and you're suddenly seeing guys that could have gone to All Elite.
Revival.
AJ, Finn.
Yeah. AJ was already put good, but yeah. I don't know if AJ was always planned to be in that match, the Rumble. I could have seen that was Ali at one point, and then they're like, nope, we're going to give it to AJ and maybe put the strap back on him. I actually would not be shocked if AJ wins the title again.
No, I wouldn't either. Because, I mean, you got Brian locked up. Man, like, if All Elite Wrestling came, like, 6 months earlier...
AJ has not signed his contract.
No.
It actually expires next month.
No, I thought it was the end of April.
Meltzer has said it expires next month. He's going to work with him until next month. It's like a handshake... Because of the stuff with 2K.
Yeah.
But, so he's going to work Mania. That's not a problem. But his contract and Nakamura's contract and the Good Brothers contract expired next month.
Interesting.
And Dolph, I believe, still hasn't signed a contract either from what I'm hearing.
Man, there's some guys that could make that jump that... I could see Ziggler making the jump for Cody.
Dave does, from what I heard from Dave, and there, he doesn't think AJ's going. He just has such a good thing with WWE right now, but he will be getting a raise. A big, fat raise.
Oh, yeah. Some of that Kenny money that was supposed to go his way is probably coming Kenny's way.
But as for Finn...
AJ's way.
As for Finn, even if it's a loss, it's a good position for him to be in.
Yeah.
This is the match we were supposed to get last year, and we got that brutal Braun and Kane match. At least we got the shoot punches from Brock into Braun. We can remember.
God.
And
that's probably the other thing that played a factor in this is...
Braun asked for Finn, too, by the way. He's been... Finn has been on Brock's dream list of guys he wants to face. You've seen it. We've talked about this off air. When he's faced AJ, when he's faced Brian, Brock has this electricity to him that he wants to compete. Because the big guy matches are just so sluggish and everything that when Brock is energized, even the Goldberg stuff, he was energized and wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I don't think he likes facing Strowman.
No, and I think he got tired of facing anyone that says Brock's a bad wrestler is crazy. Because
yeah.
I think, while Brock can't do everything he once did, I think that Brock can still give you quality matches.
We've had
matches.
Enough of a sample size now with the Bryan and the AJ matches that he can still go. And
yeah.
He's one of the best wrestlers in the world. And that he gets... Maybe he's not there all the time, but I still like that he's not there all the time. Brock still to a degree, feels special. Even that, like, he didn't feel special to me until he attacked the Hell in a Cell this year. Like, I'm actually glad that Brock is still around. Because when Brock comes out, it still matters when Brock Lesnar has a match. And when different matches happen, when he's facing Roman, doesn't feel special anymore. But now that he's facing Finn, and if Finn is the demon... That'll be really interesting then.
Yeah. Well, the only person to ever defeat the demon is Samoa Joe. So I'm interested to see when they if this is when they pull the trigger, or if Finn wrestles his match against Brock, loses, and then enters the Rumble as the demon, and then wins the Rumble, and then it's to set up the rematch. Where
we had seen at the UK show that.
Holy.
Finn Balor is still over, and that Finn Balor still matters.
Holy crap, is he like, there's almost a point where it's like, well, just send him to the UK and let him do 6 months there, and have him beat Pete Dunne, and then have him face Walter, have him face all these guys, and then have him come back over when it's a bigger deal.
So, really quickly before we wrap up here, I don't think there's anything else really from Raw. I thought Cena had a nice promo versus Vince. Cena, it's just, I really appreciate John Cena the time that he's been around, by the way.
John sure talks loud.
Yes, he does in the ring. There's one women's match stuff I still want to talk about, unless you have any breaking news you're looking at right now.
I'm just kind of scrolling, so you talk and I'll...
Sasha Banks, heel or face? This has been the debate the last 48 hours.
I have no idea. And I don't think that we're going to have any idea.
Sasha Banks, did the four mean anything? Because now we've had some back and forth with it on social media with her and Ronda.
Here's the thing with this, and here's the thing with WWE. One thing happens, and then they're going to forget. What about the lockbox with Shane?
It's still coming.
See, and that's where I'm like, Once it happens, then I'll be like, oh, okay, then we're building
so I
something.
Think my question to you next was, so we're a month into the fresh start. What would you give the fresh start out of 10 so far?
Well, I certainly wouldn't give it a Ty Dillinger.
No.
I'd probably give it like a 6, a 5 or 6, because it still is WWE. You're still putting lipstick on a pig.
I'd give it about a 6.8, 6.9. It's like you're getting better matches, as we've seen on SmackDown. You're getting... better pushes for that we want to see for characters, right? There is a little bit more focus on stuff, right? From focus on the Revival storyline right now, focus on Sasha right now, the focus on Andretti and his push, the focus on Finn. So there is better elements that you're watching. I don't feel like Raw or SmackDown are a total drone, forgettable show, at least at this point. There is still a lot of there's still the Monday Night Raw open 10-minute promo, this is how we're going to do things. SmackDown seems to have changed up their format a little bit, and it's working, although they went really heavy on the entertainment this past week with the Shane and Miz stuff, which is going to be the worst match on the show, probably. I did laugh when they showed the Best of Shane video. I'm like, if we could do a Clockwork Orange to Mo, this is what we'd show him. This is the highlight reel of Shane McMahon. And the punches were in there, too, which made it even better. But SmackDown is a show we want the wrestling from, and they relied heavily on entertainment segments with the Mandy segments and with the Shane segments. So hopefully going for, and Ali and Joe is completely eviscerated Ali, which isn't bad. You know, it's kind of a catch 22. You want Ali to be booked really good, but you want Joe to be booked really good. So it's like, I mean, Ali could do the babyface thing and he could knock him out of the Rumble.
Yeah.
And that we could get Ali and Joe at Mania, and it could be an unbelievably good match. I think the chances of what SmackDown has to offer us at Mania have a potential to be some of the greatest matches we've seen from the company in a long time. But We haven't seen the ability to fully stick the landing on matches we're excited for. Look at Nakamura and AJ last year. But from what we've seen from SmackDown the past 2 weeks, it seems at least we're in a somewhat upward projection as far as getting quality matches from them.
I don't trust them. I don't. Come to me in 6 months. If this is status quo after 6 months, then I'll be a little bit more like, okay. And then it needs another 6 months for it to be like, okay, this is how they're going to do things now. Until they consistently prove that they're going to do this, they don't have my trust. They don't have my faith.
Well, that's why it's SmackDown last week, I thought, was one of the best WWE ran shows in a long time. I really liked last week's SmackDown. And you come back with a lot of the entertainment bullshit this week, which is fine. There is a place for that stuff in wrestling. We've talked to Mo, and Mo said there's a place for that stuff. There is a place for entertaining segments. The Festival of Friendship, for example.
Yeah.
Those segments are meant to be in WWE. Barbershop Window, This Is Your Life.
Austin in the ring.
Rockin' Austin. Singing. There is places for those. Some of them just don't fly. The Miz and Shane stuff, some of it was entertaining, I thought. But then, like, the Coast to Coast with the cake was like, this is such a Vince spot that Vince is like, God damn it, then he's going to put the cake in his face, and it's going to be fucking hilarious.
Well, and the other thing, it's still never live up to the hype of the Mae Young hand, but
yeah.
we'll work towards that segment.
Yeah, so we're in a better spot than we were in October, November, where it was just like, what is going on? This is skippable. This is terrible. We're getting better matches. We're getting a little bit more focus on character development than we have before. So it's a start. Like you said, we have to see where the trend is in 6 months' time. It is very weird, though, that it's recording this on January 16th, and we have no idea what a Mania match is yet.
No, I have no idea what I'm walking into.
The only one we know is Ronda versus probably Charlotte and maybe Becky.
Yeah, Becky's the maybe now.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
We don't know what the Universal or WWE title matches are. Normally by this point, we have an idea, which I think makes this Rumble coming up really exciting. And that's the thing, too. This is a really good Mania Royal Rumble wrestling-wise on paper. It's really good. Like,
so how are they going to screw it up?
There's four. All four title matches could be four-star matches. They have the potential for that. Will they? I don't know.
I don't want to put my faith in any WWE.
But you would agree with me. On paper, all four
four-star matches. On paper.
It's the best two women's matches they've had on a card that's all year. Even Evolution didn't have matches of this quality that were four-star potential. Sasha and Ronda can be four-stars for sure. And Becky and Asuka can be four-stars for sure.
Yeah.
And Brian and AJ could be a five-star if they really wanted to, if they let them just go. And Brock and Finn could be four stars, so they just let them go.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I mean, on paper it looks good, but...
That's the problem is coming
Mandy Rose to get... runs down the AJ, and we just get a... what was the angle that...
Otis ran? Will come down.
Oh.
I don't know, I'm feeling more optimistic than I have in the last few weeks. I was completely out of the really watching the product weekly.
Yeah.
And they've drawn me back in to care about it weekly. So they're like, I was just watching this for YouTube. I'm at a point where I'm interested to turn in live again. With PVR, not fully live, but at the very least, I'm interested to see what they do live again. So that's a progression for me as a wrestling fan of WWE.
I'll slowly get there. I'm still very kind of like, I don't know what they're gonna, because they're gonna pull the wool over my eye. They're going to fool me, and then I'm going to suddenly open my eyes, and it's going to just be the monsters from Bird Box, and I'm going to crash
into something.
See
what happens when we do this. Next week, I don't know what all Elite or anyone will do, but I'm assuming that the show next week is going to be very heavily Rumble influenced with NXT preview and the match itself.
Well, we've got that, and I mean, we're 15 days away from Kenny's contract being up with New Japan.
Yeah, so how will they announce it to Holly? And will he get what Jericho gets, where Jericho's still allowed to do New Japan? I can't imagine he wouldn't be.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. I mean, the rumors sound like, it sounds like he's turned down WWE, and now we're sitting and waiting at a point where we're like, okay, where's Kenny going to sign? Is he going to sign with New Japan, and will he be at the MSG show, or is he going to sign with All Elite Wrestling?
Well, did you hear what Meltzer said the match is going to be from what he's heard?
What?
Tanahashi Okada.
Yes! Yes, that would be fantastic. I will not complain at all. So Moke could be wrong on something. Yeah. So we have
He's heard it's Tanahashi Okada or Tanahashi Omega with a far chance to be Tanahashi Jericho.
So I win either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to establish that I won. Wow. Holy crap. Because, like, we went back and, like, this is from Wrestle Kingdom 8 that Okada.
Yeah.
And, like, that was Okada's first big thing. So for them to do it in
a... They could totally swerve us and Jay White could beat Tanahashi and then we're going to be like, I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
I don't think it's going to happen. But.
See, my thing is, Tana's always said he was one to wrestle an MSG. We always thought, well, there's only one way you can wrestle an MSG, but apparently there is another way to wrestle an MSG. This is going to be interesting. Like, this, the MSG main event has to be New Japan. It cannot be anyone other than New Japan. I don't think Ring of Honor has the weight to carry a main event in Madison Square Garden. And I think that's why MSG agreed to it, because they knew New Japan was hot. Like, I mean, the seats that I have gotten for the show are decent seats, so I'm excited, and they're decent price. Like, when the Elite left, that definitely took a hit for MSG.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, they're probably going to have two members of the Elite there. I mean, just devil's advocate, is we've heard the Kenny's turned down this offer. If there's some last-minute negotiations on Hunter Head, is there any possible way you could see... That, devil's advocate, if he did, what would be the reason you could see him signing with WWE?
He has full creative control over everything.
Right. Which we kind of heard the Bucks contracts that was revealed in Cody's. They had some creative control, All Elite Wrestling.
They didn't have any creative control.
They had of BTE. It was going to go on the network.
Yeah.
And they had a 6-month out, which a lot of people have asked why they wouldn't just do that. But Meltzer's kind of been like, well, why would you? Like, the show had already been planned.
Yeah.
But according to Jericho, like, it was... close, but I don't really think it was ever close. If Jericho's talking about taking Tony Khan's plane to All In, I think this stuff... I think they're never going to be completely open about all this for at least another year, but I think this was all done, like, in the fall.
Yeah, well, they can't reveal anything because then Ring of Honor could go back and sue Tony.
I think this was done in the fall.
I don't think it was done until...
the cruise?
Yeah, I think the cruise was the final seal on everything. I think once they got to that cruise, then it kind of became very apparent. Because who were the sponsors for Jericho's cruise?
Pro Wrestling Tees? Let me just go double check.
Because I'm curious if when you look at the Jericho cruise, who were the sponsors for it? Because to do the cruise, that had to cost a pretty penny. And I just can't see Jericho using the money, all his money himself. So I wonder if Tony contributed.
That's a good question. It doesn't really say in here.
See, and that's the thing. Like, oh, click on contact.
Sponsorship, thank you.
That's
to ask for sponsorships. But we know at least Pro Wrestling Tees.
Scroll up. So it was...
Pro Wrestling Tees, SRG Universe, and New Amsterdam Vodka. What's SRG Universe?
So, that's good to know that vodka was a sponsor. That's probably what fueled it.
I don't really... And SRG just seems like someone that does, like...
Promo cards
and whatnot, so...
Yeah. It seems like it's a wrestling thing.
I wouldn't be shocked if he was a silent sponsor of it.
Yeah.
So I think...
That's all speculation.
I think that Tony Khan had been... The wheels had been turning for this for a while.
Yeah, I think he, like most of us, were fed up with WWE. And then...
When Jericho's been very clear, he's like, we are not ever going to beat WWE. He's like, we don't want to beat WWE. He's like, we just want to be an alternative, and that's all we want to be. And I think that's... And that's what you and I have been echoing. We said this last week. There's no winners or losers. There's just alternatives.
Well, there are winners, because the wrestlers get better contracts and potentially healthcare.
That's what it is. But there's no company winner or loser.
No.
WWE is the juggernaut. They're going to roll on. They're going to have their manias. They're going to have the Royal Rumbles and... They're bullshit Saudi Arabia shows, and All Elite's going to be there and give you an alternative if you want to watch it. I will just say, like, before we get out of here, watching it, you and I and Mo have, especially you and I, have had this debate back and forth, do casual fans matter? Well, over the last 2 weeks, showing casual fans Ospreay and Kota and Tanahashi and Kenny and some ROH matches, the product of athletics in wrestling matters more than a segment like the Mandy does. Because, and that's what Fox wants, and you can see why. Because I think a lot of people, when they saw wrestling, like, that's a circus, I don't care about that. But when you see it's a true athletic competition, even if you know it's fake, which I hate that word with it, but even if you do know it's predetermined and fake, the athleticism, it's hard to deny being having an enjoyable time watching it.
Well, see, my friend, there was a trend, and because I work in the news, and I see things, I see what the trends are, what the most popular video that I saw on every morning show, on the afternoon show, on the evening show, on the late night news, on social media, was that choreographed dance for that UCLA dancer.
Yeah.
I don't know her name off the top of my head. Yeah. I tried to find it quickly, but I couldn't. But you see that. And everyone's drawn to that because of how perfect she moves in there. And just in sync to the music and the way she moves, it draws you in because it's just like, holy crap, I could never do that myself. But you can see her doing splits and the flips. And then it's like, well, Ospreay does flips. Ricochet does flips.
Well, that was the last clip like that for WWE, or not WWE, sorry, but the wrestling as a whole was the Ricochet and Ospreay that had all the controversy and everything like that. But that drew people in, and showing that to casual fans, then you show them the UCLA thing, it's like, what's the difference here? Both super talented people. And, like, just watching back that Ricochet and Ospreay thing the other day, too, just, like, the misses and everything, like, the casual fan I watched with and co-host Fresh Take, Devin Seals, like, he's like, you know the thing I admire the most? He's like, the flips are cruel, crazy. He's like, but missing and ducking a kick. He's like, I don't think... He's like, how many wrestling fans really admire that and really talk about that? He's like, I'm like, I don't know, not a lot. He's like, because that to me is crazy. He's like,
yeah,
the timing you have to have, someone's going like 20 miles, 30 miles per hour with their foot at you hard as hell and you're ducking it. He's like, that is crazy.
Oh yeah, no, and I'm not going to get to, because the debate on the importance of casual fans between you and Mo, I'm going to sit with a bowl of popcorn.
I guess my point is, we're starting to see, I've had a decent enough sample size now, what matters to them. It doesn't seem to be the entertainment segment. They'll take the athletics.
I don't know, because the...
I mean, then we see the Alexa Bliss video, and then my point becomes completely muted. So
yeah,
because
I don't know how much athleticism was involved.
No.
In that. There weren't many flips in
she
that.
She had to get her robe up there in time. I'd be interested to see if we just made that the screenshot for this podcast and how many downloads we would get.
I'd be afraid to. I'm not doing that.
I know. I'm just saying.
No.
If we did it, because I'll give you an example. I tested it a few last year when we did our E3 review. I had a PlayStation 1, a Nintendo 1, and an Xbox 1, and then we'll finish on this. Xbox just had Halo. Nintendo had Smash Brothers. PlayStation had The Kiss from Last of Us. What do you think did the most downloads?
The Kiss.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think PlayStation had a banger conference, and PlayStation didn't out of the park right now, but you can't tell me that Kiss didn't attract, and by the way, too, just to add to it, it's a lesbian kiss, so you're going to attract people just because of that. That attracted people to it, and that got us comments and everything like that as well. So it's stupid. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't bloody well matter, but it does, so... Yeah, it's interesting. It's a high this week for WWE for a great match with Rey and Almas, and then the push of Finn, but then it's a down with the Bliss and the Mandy segment.
Who knows? Who knows where this is all going to go? Maybe this is a brilliant storyline, and we're just watching the infancy.
Maybe
of it.
Mandy and Naomi are going to beat Okada and Kenny's star rating.
All right, that's the end of the
She podcast. Hits her with the rear end. It's bigger than the V trigger.
So since we have recorded, Joel, we had some breaking news that happened. A top tag team in the WWE, well, they're not getting booked like a top tag team, but they have asked for their release from the company.
There are a couple top guys, but they may be looking to get their way out.
So the Revival have requested, apparently, their way out of the company. Whether this will be granted or not, we don't know. You can imagine if I'm the WWE, you know, if they are released, that they that's the match of Double or Nothing. It's the Revival versus the Young Bucks.
Yeah, because 90 days would be long done.
Yeah.
What would it be if they got released today? It'd be February, March, April. Then May. Yeah. May they come in and then they shoot that angle and then.
So I don't imagine they're going to get it right away. I wouldn't be shocked if the Revival are on Raw next week.
Well, you know when they're going to get it. They're going to get it probably like in a month or two.
If we see them beat Gable and Bobby Roode on Monday, then don't be surprised that that happened.
Yeah. I mean, there's the whole debate now is do you let them go and let them have the Bucks match or do you keep them? And if they're disgruntled, do you let that upset your locker room balance? Especially in a locker room now that you have to be more careful because if guys' contracts are up and you're not willing to play ball with the Revival, then they're going to be like, well, screw this company. I'm not re-signing because of what you guys are doing.
You also play the dicey role of if you give them the revival release, anybody else will be like, well, yeah, cool. I just want to release them too. I want to go to All Elite. I want to go to ROH. I want to go to Japan. You play that risk as well.
You have
that
risk right now, regardless, yeah. Because the money is good now. You can be like, well, my deal sucks. Mm-hmm. I want out. I'm going to go raise my stock, and then I'm going to make a ton more money.
That's what I'm saying. It's a double-edged sword, though, right? You can have the thing of you don't want to set the tax environment, but you also don't want to be like, hey, if anyone wants to leave, you can leave. You don't want to just set that right on the table, that if you want to leave, get out of here.
Well, do you really want to keep anyone that doesn't want to be there?
No, but you just don't want to just help your competition really, like that.
Do you really want to hold your roster hostage? Because that's just going to breed contempt.
I mean, we always heard rumors of the Vince McMahon mind, Jedi mind trick. So he's done it to Carlito. He's done it to a million people. The Carlito is the most famous one.
Ziggler.
So maybe he's going to do it to the Revival. I don't imagine they're going to be released this week.
No, not this week.
I think they're going to try to negotiate things. You said the man that had reported this is who?
He is with Fightful. It is Sean Ross from Fightful.
Sean Ross, yeah. And yeah. You said he has a decent track record?
Oh, yeah. He's had a very good record right now. He doesn't report on just garbage, so.
Okay, so he's been pretty reliable. It's a Wednesday, so we'll see how this goes through the week. I would be shocked if they're not on Raw, and if they're either going to win the tag titles on Monday now, or they're going to have a tag title match at the Rumble.
Oh, and we've got that as well.
And the Bludgeons have been cleared for the ring as well, so getting good time to break news as well.
Yeah, it worked out well.
Oh, yeah, we have the tag match. We have the greatest tag team in the world.
Yeah.
That's not Shelton and Charlie Haas versus The Bar. So, but that was when you and I had talked. I wonder if they'll maybe do something with the Wyatts with them.
Maybe.
Because Bray still hasn't been on TV.
Yeah, Bray's been MIA.
For like a while now. So, there you go. The Revival have asked for their release. I would be shocked if it happens this week, but if it does, then Double or Nothing just got a dream match added to it.
Yep. Yeah, it certainly did.
Yeah, make sure for all the latest, you check us here on We Talk Podcast, Stick Boy, One Fall and Fresh Take. On all our social media platforms, and we have the return to a throwback pod this week, so that'll be up on the Stick Boy feed on We Talk Podcast. Until next time, cheers.
FTR.
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night.